Okay, let's roll. I really honestly hope you'll enjoy it. I give, you know, about 30 different classes on different topics. This one tends to be the one that folks enjoy the most. I hope you will. I hope it's going to be a little entertaining, but I really would like you to walk away with some lessons and some real takeaways. I call it the answer key. The answer key, excuse me, was something that I always thought to myself as an 8th grade Rebbe. I started my career in 1982. Where's Ari?
Right here.
One of my star students. What was second year, third year? Imagine, I would have seen my Rebbe run the other way. Yes, it was the third year. So,
English was the first year.
That's right.
Are you starting even earlier?
So one of the things that many of the years, not Ari's year, but many of the years I taught the weaker track in the school, and I always said to myself, Bechlal, whenever I had a challenging child, a kid who was, you know, had stuff or was having a hard time in school, or later on in my Project Guest life, I always said that there's an answer key. That's what I always thought to myself. There's an answer key. There's a reason that this is happening, and once I figure it out, we'll be fine. So tonight's going to be an answer key. And here's what I'd like to talk to you about. We're going to be talking about personality profiles. I'd like you to, I'm going to challenge you all to think about yourselves. What makes you tick? What inspires you? Do you like to be told what to do? Or do you need to be told why I'm doing it? Okay? I call it Word or Excel. Are you rational or emotional based? My 11. No, good. I'm sorry. Go for it. Are you a starter or a finisher? Do you think out of the box when you hear a rule, is your first reaction, okay, it's not for me, man. What else am I doing? Okay, what's plan B? So I'm going to walk you through this. I'm also going to talk to you about interacting with people who don't share your profile. Talk about family members. And I'm also going to... The last thing I'm going to do is help you troubleshoot if your kid's not making it in school, if your kid's not learning well, or you yourself are having struggles with learning or studying or anything, I'd like to help you. Hopefully what you learn tonight is going to trigger you thinking. That's the nicest thing you could do. The nicest thing you could tell me 2 Wednesdays from now, if you come again, is, you know, Rabbi Horowitz, you really got me thinking. That's the nicest compliment you can give me. So I'm going to start with 2 stories, and they illustrate, I hope they illustrate what I mean by personality profiles and when it works and when it doesn't. The first is, I was giving a class like this at a Pesach program about 10 years ago, and a fellow who was at the class came over to me and he said, you know, Rabbi Horowitz, where were you this winter? He said, I lost a few $1 million because I didn't understand what you taught in the last 45 minutes. He said, if I would have known this, everything would have, I would have had the answer key. He didn't use those words. And he tells me the story. So I told him, I said, listen, I'll be glad to develop a relationship with you when I help you in the future. You know, give a little cut to my yeshiva. So this guy does mergers and acquisitions. He's an attorney. And one of the things that he does is he takes entrepreneurs public. Okay, guy starts a company, guy has this great idea, starts in the garage, you know, like a lot of good ideas start, then he develops it and spends 10 years sweating, and finally he's ready to go public. Go public, you know, it actually cashing out is one of 2 ways. Either a big company buys his company completely, or they give them shares, but at that point, that's really that's payday for the entrepreneur. He makes a lot of money. So he tells me, he says, I'm the lawyer and I'm responsible for getting the 2 sides to make it work. And I do it on a contingency basis. And he said, I had this deal that the entrepreneur stood to make $100 million, more than $100 million. He developed this invention and it was a great invention. He had people looking at him, and this company, this very, very, very large company, wanted to invest. Best day of his life is about to come. So they were supposed to close, let's say on a Wednesday. They were supposed to sit down and close, and you know, after they were dating for 2 years, you know, checking it out, checking the product, checking competition, everything. He said, finally, the night before, the Tuesday night, the night before they were gonna close, I sat down with the guy, and I told him, I said, listen, let's just, I set up a meeting with the attorney for the big company. Let's get together. So the person representing the company, he's the CFO, he's the financial, he's the money guy. He takes care of the finances of the company. So he goes to the entrepreneur and he says, listen, I'm really looking forward to closing with you tomorrow. These are the 12, here, you need to do these things here. Here's the list. You got to take care of this. Tomorrow we're done. I need these papers. It said a few different things. So the entrepreneur jumps up and he says, you're telling me what I need to do? Because he told him, he says, hey, you need to do this. He says, you're telling me what I need to do? And he started swearing. He started cursing. He said, I started this in my garage and I didn't take salary for that. And then he starts crying and starts telling. The guy had no idea what hit him. The attorney, the CFO, and he says, I'm the attorney, and I'm trying to make a shidduch here, and I try to calm them down, and he said, I took the entrepreneur outside, and he tells me, he says, are you crazy? He said, I've contractually, this is the way it usually works, you have to sign a non-compete. The entrepreneur has to sign for 5-10 years that he's not going to make a product like this. Sometimes it's forever, and he has to work with the company for X number of years. I have to work for these guys. You know, he's bossing me around, giving me a list of stuff. He said, if I would have understood, I would have done this workshop. It made perfect sense. He had an answer key. I'll tell you what that is later. Second story is a little sadder, a lot sadder. A true story. Many, many years ago, a parent of a Hasidish boy in Bar Park, he had learned one of the largest Hasidish yeshivas in Bar Park. And the parents called me and said, this was the quote again. You know, the hardest thing, one of the hard things about being me is people call me, I don't know the kids, I don't know the school, I don't know the parents, I don't know anything about anything. And I'm supposed to solve the problem and I really want to help them. But I didn't know any, so I asked them to describe it very carefully. So here's the story. They said they have a ninth grader who's been sitting at home on his bed for over a month now. And what happened? He had a hard time in elementary school. He started the Sifta this year, and he just wasn't getting Gemara. He was failing every test very badly. And he had a wonderful Rebbe who offered to test him privately, and he offered to teach it to him. And the Rebbe taught him, and he failed, and he taught him again, and he failed again. And finally, he was so in pain from failing that he said, I'm not going back to school. So they said, yeah, so no, we're going to take away your stuff. If you stay home, you're going to have to sit on your bed. So he's been sitting on his bed. What's going on? So I said, I need to know what he said. I said, I can't help you. I'd love to. Please tell me more. What were the words that he said? So the father says, he spoke like silly things that didn't make any sense. Hopefully by the end of the night, you'll understand what he was saying. So I said, what did he say? Please, sit down, call me back, talk for an hour, write down everything he said that made no sense, and let me try to figure it out. So he says, one of the things that he said was, now I remember. They said, call back. They said, one of the things that he kept saying is, he says, my Rebbe, in Yiddish, my Rebbe, it is a zagit Rebbe. He's such a good Rebbe. He cares about me. He offered to learn with me. So the father and mother said, so why isn't it working? He said, man Rebbe land, Nachamul, 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 Nachamul. Again and again and again and again. He says, Ich darf nicht Nachamul, Ich darf anders. He said, I don't need it again, I need it differently. So the father, who was also in pain, he was really applying to go apologize to him. So the father says, all right, well, we'll turn the Gemara upside down. What's different? He's learning the Gemara with you. What's different about it? And then he said, says Alts Werte. It's all words. Like, duh, that's what Gemara is, right? So the father and parents got more frustrated. This is what he kept saying when they spoke to him about it. So let me talk to you about that too. So I want you to understand diverse learning profiles, how it works. I'd like to teach you how to use this information to problem solve in your own life, in your relationships. It might even explain to you why, as a if you're parents and you have kids in school, you've been waiting for that sixth grade Rebbe for 4 years because he's the best Rebbe in the school, and your kid gets there and has a horrible year. Sometimes it might be as simple as a personality profile, and I'll explain it to you. Help your kids by providing them with Andersh, and then I want to talk about personal relationships and what you could do, how you can say the same thing, give the same instruction, like clean up your room, in two different ways, or different ways to the different people in your life. Okay? So, let's get started. Stop and reflect a minute. You don't have to say anything yet. I'm going to ask for volunteers sooner. You'll volunteer somebody. I'm going to give you five things to think about your own personality. And if you want to smooth it over with somebody next to you, then you feel free to. And ask yourself as follows. Am I Word or Excel? That's my own term for it. You know, Microsoft Word and Excel. Word is flowery. Words, you know, words. Excel is numbers. Excel spreadsheets. Are you emotional-based or rational-based? Okay? Do you get inspired or do you just want somebody to talk to you? Okay, that's one. Are you a color in the lines or out of the box? How does it mean? Do you think differently than other people, which could be fantastic, but could cause you a lot of pain? And sometimes you just wish you could take a pill and become like everybody else. But do you think differently? That before your times, folks, you can look it up. Steve Jobs in Apple. I'm sorry, some of the guys who are nodding their head just dated themselves. That's fine. They had a great series of ads. It's called Think Different. It should be differently. That was part of the shtick. And it showed Einstein and Galileo and the leaders of the world thinking, how does your brain work? Do you just follow what people say and sure, absolutely? Or do you think out of the box? Are you a starter or a closer? Do you love starting a new project and get bored halfway through? Do people complain to you that, do you start five books over the winter time, over Shabbos when you're reading? Like, you start a book and halfway through it, and yeah, whatever. I see some heads nodding. That's good. This is what I want you to do. I want you to really think about yourself. That's great. This is what I want you to do. So, are you a starter or a closer? Do you like a project or do you like to finish things? Are you a list maker? Do you make lists? Do you love making lists and checking them off one at a time? Are you an introvert or an extrovert? If I called on you now and said, come up here and tell us about your profiles, would you love it? And say, great, I'm in. Or would you like rather just like Horowitz, go away from me, leave me alone, just stop, don't talk to me. You don't talk to me, I don't talk to you. What's your nature? Again, there's no good or bad. It's just who you are. Are you Shammai or Hillel? Are you patient and forgiving, or are you more firm? And some people could be patient and forgiving, and once you push them over they'll only get angry once in 5 years, but God help them, if they get angry, it's over. So these are ways to identify yourself. One of the best ways in today's environment is just that they won't let you see it, but it's frightening what credit card companies know about you. You absolutely cannot imagine. They can tell you who you are, what makes you tick, every one of these questions and many more. When I first started doing these classes, again, I'm asked to help people that I don't know what's going on. So I explore different areas. I did a child abuse prevention book because I realized 13 years ago, that a great percentage of the kids I was working with were abused. I try to problem solve, and I think out of the box, okay? I was interested in personality profiles. Because I said, maybe there's something behind it. Maybe it's just what I was talking about. So I interviewed people who specialize in this, and I interviewed the head of a company that collects data from credit cards. They know it's frightening. So what do? They check. Do you pick up the dry cleaners every Thursday at 11 o'clock? What does that tell you? What would they know if they saw that? What? You're not worried. You're Excel. You're organized, right? Do you go back to the same store 3 times in an hour? Okay, do you go to the Glottmart, you collect, you have a big bill,
You know, $103, you got another, then you go back, $150, not that big. So, okay, you go back for another $20, and then you go back for $4. What does that mean? You got no list, and you're a nice guy, but you're all over the place.
Or your wife keeps texting
you stuff. Or your wife keeps texting you stuff. This is my star student. Now, you know, there you go.
Family profile.
Now, okay, so they know how you shop, when you shop. Do you go for bargains? And after a while, if you check your email feed, by now they send you emails that are targeted to you, to the way your brain works. My PowerPoint didn't work, so. This is a car ad, okay? You see it? It's an old one. I walk around when I have some slides. It's a highest gas mileage of any car you can buy. Who are they talking to here, Word or Excel?
Excel.
No, they're appealing to, you decide yourself. Or this. What kind of ad, what does this say? What does this say to you, right? Macho guy, you're driving on the hill, you know, I left the ones out with you have a chavrusa in the car, you know, right? Like, you know what I'm saying? So, like the, but all of those things, this appeals to your brain. This appeals to your heart. And I'm telling you right now, you would respond differently. So here's what we're going to do for some fun. I'll ask for volunteers. I don't know you guys. When I do workshops with married couples, it's much easier because the vast, overwhelming majority of couples are exactly the opposite. Their personality, it's frightening. That I'll show you later. I'll show you my wife and I took pictures of our visual profiles, it's scary. That almost all of us marry people opposite us. I have a very interesting shot in Rashi. Eza Kenegdai, right? So Rashi says, and Hashem tells Adam Arishon, Eselecha Eza Kenegdai. I'm going to make for you a helper, Ezer, a helper, Kenegdai, that's opposite you. So Rashi does not give the literal translation, which would be, I'll make you a helper. I'll make you somebody to work with you. Kenegdo, that will be with you. So Rashi says, Kenegdo is bad. So, if you're Zaycha, very good. If you're Zaycha, if the guy davens well, then he gets an Ezer. If not, he gets a Kenegdo. So it's one or the other. What was bothering Rashi? Where's the last straw? Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, so Rashi never deviates from Pashup Shat, from the regular translation interpretation, unless something wasn't working for him. So what bothered Rashi? This is my take on it. It didn't say Etzloy. It should have said Etzloy. I'll make an Ezer. You have a co-pilot, right? We're both sitting next to each other. We're not sitting opposite each other. So Rashi took the Ezer, since the Torah used Kenegdai, Kenegdai is opposite, so it can't be a partner. God would say, I gave you a partner to be at your side, but you'll be at her side, which is the truth. Right, so you, one way or the other, I'd like to humbly suggest differently than Rashi, with great humility and derecherets for Rashi, I'd like to suggest an out-of-the-box interpretation. An Ezer is a Kenegdai. Because you have one of you already. What do you need a second one for? The two together have the types of personalities that should work together well and allow you to build a home together. When I did personality profiling, when I started working on this a long time ago, I took a personality test. I gave it to my wife and kids. And then I tested the people in the school voluntarily. Every single department head in my school had exactly my wife's personality. It was fascinating. Every one of them, the Hebrew principal, the English principal, the business manager, every one of them had my wife's personality. Why? Because they got one of me. I need somebody that's going to make the buses come on time and going to do details if I'm not a detail guy. Okay? So here's what I'd like you to do. I want to try this out on you. So who do you know here that's like the most word guy that you could imagine? And do you know anybody here who's like a real Excel guy? If not, I'll take a volunteer. So if you can recommend, like when you hear Word and Excel, when I describe an emotion-based person that you just totally works on emotion and then
Do you think of anybody here? Or do you guys know each other? Or when you think rational, Excel. What?
Avrami. Him or
Avrami is Excel.
Avrami, which who's Avrami? Avrami. Why is he Excel? What does he do for a living?
He gets very technical. No?
You're rational, yeah, but.
Anybody want to volunteer? Come on. And who's Word here? Who's really an emotion based person? What? I think you're Word, Abby. Come on up here. Okay, who wants a volunteer? Who's an accountant or a finance guy? Who loves to read spreadsheets? Who sees a spreadsheet and says, oh, I'm in heaven? And your eyes glaze over the spreadsheet. What? No way. So who's Morty? Who's
Morty?
Morty, come on. Is he an introvert or an extrovert? Matza, come on up. Ari, sit down, please. Okay, come on, guys. Is that Morty? Come on, Morty. Be a good sport.
But I'm a Word guy. I don't like spreadsheets. Let's go.
Come on, you gotta like spreadsheets.
Now, by the way, I use you. Can you get one guy in the PlayStation Excel?
Okay, Morty, can you want to? Come, you don't want to? You don't want to? Okay, anybody else want to volunteer? You have to, again. You love spreadsheets, organize, make lists, you think rationally.
Most Gestalt guys are introverts.
What?
Most Gestalt guys are
introverts. Sometimes. By the way, nobody's 100 to 0. Nobody's 100 to 0. Some people are 90-10. No, don't bother anybody. If anybody doesn't want to come, well, somebody will act like one.
I'll act like one.
Please, have a seat. Now, here's what I'm going to do now. Now, here's the deal. Despite the fact that they know what I'm going to do, because I'm going to tell them,
Mr.
they will
Roshan.
Not be able to hide their personality. And when I talk to them the way they want to be spoken to, they'll get interested and inspired and lean forward. And even though I'm telling it to them, watch, they will not be able to hide their personality. And when I say things to them that's not to their personality, they're going to go ape and scratch their eyes out because it's just going to make them crazy. So we're going to do three things. I'm going to ask them for a $50 donation for, you don't have to, just play, okay? To buy here some, one of my Gemara books here, a few Gemara books for Talmidim, okay? Check the book out, Ari. Do you see my book?
Nice.
Okay, I'm going to ask them to sponsor a few books for students. That's the first thing, and I'm going to do it Word and Excel. There's a Word version and an Excel version, and I'm going to do it the right way. I'm going to talk to Ari in. I'm going to talk to Ari only in Word.
Avrami.
Avrami. I'm going to. Avrami's going to be only.
I'm the guy who didn't have the.
That's right. Thank you very much. My fault. I'm a Word guy. I forgot. Okay, and I'm going to talk to him all in Excel. Then I'm going to teach them some laws of Sukkos. I'm going to teach them some halachas of Sukkos, but I'm going to switch. I'm going to talk to Avrami in Word. Watch his face when I do it. And then I'm going to talk to Ari, my dear Talmud, in Excel. Okay? And then, the last thing I'm going to do is I'm going to make believe that my teenage kids, and I'm telling them to clean up their room. And I'll do a Word and Excel version. If I'm in a nasty mood, I'll keep it switched. And if I'm in a benevolent mood, I'll do it the way they like it. Okay, you ready? Ready? Okay, here we go. Ari, you know, you met kids that don't, you know, that don't make it in school. You know what a heartbreak it is, Ari, to see a kid who's struggling. You see them in the shul, they're walking around, you know. You probably not had friends like this. Maybe you had a bad Rebbe in eighth grade. you know the heartache and I believe that if we just help these kids.
If we just
help the kids out, just give them the rules that they need to do for Gemara. I sell, you know, sponsor $50, 5 books. Imagine what it would be like if you knew the truth of somebody, a kid would come to you 5 years from now and say, you know, remember you gave out those books to the kids and, you know, go to a special ed class. You help me out. And now I can learn Gemara my whole life. $50. Look at this. Let me tell you something. You know what makes me crazy about charity stuff? Everybody loves the Chas V'Shalom. As soon as there's an emergency, kid needs drug rehab, everybody's running, and they should go for rehab. But, you know, I don't see any strategic planning when it comes to charity giving. You know, isn't that, I mean, you know, sometimes you have, it's $10,000, God forbid, for which they need, of course, for a kid who's been, or whatever, a kid who's substance abusing. But, you know, if we invest in a book, we have a book that we published for $8, I could sell it for $5. I mean, think of the return on that. How many kids would that take? Come on, do the math. How many kids would it take? Just imagine, do the math, right? So $10,000, $5, 20,000 kids. You could fill up Madison Square Garden with kids that you could protect just by an investment. Forget that. Forget all the other stuff.
I'm in.
How many checks do you write?
Okay.
How many checks?
Can you leave my office now before the check gets bigger?
It's all calculated.
Okay, you ready? How'd that work, guys? Watch this. I'm going to teach you a little talk about sukkahs. I want to talk about the Dal of Minim. You know, there's a story of the Vaditchever Rav that the night before, he was walking around and he killed the lulav and esrog all night, waiting for the sun to come up. And somebody came over and they were singing a niggin, and he said, I should sing another niggin. Ari, you're going to love this. There's a machlokes between Rav Moshe and the Chazon Ish in how big the hadassim should be. It's fascinating. Rav Moshe says that it's 10.2 centimeters. Get this. Chazon Ish, 11.5. And it has to do with the volume of eggs. And it's a very, if you want to, I'll be glad to discuss more. Oh, we should do it the right way or wrong way? Let's do it the right way, all right? Clean up your room. You know, mommy worked so hard on your room. You know, you remember when you asked her to make the curtains and the things and put the room? It's going to take you 3 minutes. You know what it would mean to her if you clean up? Listen, we're going out. You know we're going out soon because, we're going to the park. I'm telling you right now, you're cleaning up your room. It's Friday, you're cleaning up your room. That's done. It's not happening. Now, you can fight with me for 15 minutes and then clean up for 18 minutes, or you just go clean it for 3 minutes?
Sound like me.
Three or 18, what's it going to be? All right, guys? Thank you very much.
I did a better job than you did.
I will tell them what you
did. I was the better actor.
It speaks here.
Where's your donation?
I had you with the $50.
So pre-calculated.
Now, you just watch this. Now, think about this. Now imagine if Avrami, right?
Yes.
Imagine if Avrami is waiting for this sixth grade Rebbe that tells the greatest stories that everybody loves. And he's sitting there for Gemara Shir, and the Rebbe's doing a 15-minute story that the other kids are eating up. And he's breaking into hives, scratching himself. Okay? So think about your personalities, because it's so important. Even telling a kid to clean up their room. If you tell an Excel person about how mommy did the furniture, they're going to be disrespectful to you, not on purpose, because they can't take it. They're going to say, could you get to the point, please? Right? And when you talk to them about Shabbos, and you talk to them about anything, so think about those differences, okay? Here's another way to do it. Excel people work best when they're told, here's what I'd like you to do. Word people typically will not follow your instructions unless you tell them why they're doing it. If you inspire me, I'll do it. You don't inspire me, I'm not doing it. I don't care. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. What's the meaning of this? Why do I need to do this? I gave a workshop on, I do this class with Rabbeim. I do it primarily with the parents also, but I do it with Rabbeim. And I was doing a talk in Toronto, and I did more examples. I had them they were on the floor. I told you, this is a light class, but I really want to, obviously, I want you to walk away thinking of stuff. So I did this class, and then we had a hard stop. Here, we don't have a hard stop, like it was finished or whatever, 9 o'clock.
But if I'm 10 minutes late, it's not a big deal. There, they were in yeshiva, and they had to go to minyan. So whenever, when I was done, they catered lunch, and then, but I had a very hard stop. So the principal says, Rabbi, 5 minutes. So I said, okay, I have time for one last question. It was, I wish I could have recorded it, because I could do the whole class in 1 second. So these two rabbeim raised their hands, and I said, okay, I'll listen to both your questions, and then I'll do my best to answer them in 5 minutes, and I gotta go. So one guy raises his hand, he says, Rabbi Horowitz, how did you think of this? It's amazing. Like, where did you come up with this? You know, I started teaching the same time as you, and like, I'm wondering, like, how do you get this? And then the second I said, okay, and your question is, what am I supposed to do tomorrow in class? Like, how does this help me, this whole speech that you gave? Like, what is it? What do you got? Word in Excel. Right in a second. They asked their questions, it took them 60 seconds, 30 seconds each, and you just see everything about them. So I'll go through the others, and I'm going to talk to you some practical stuff, and I'll just encourage you to think a little bit. If you follow instructions, do you follow rules or not follow rules? Ask yourself, if a teacher says, hey, let's make it practical. Imagine I was your teacher, and I said, okay, guys, we're having a science, you have to do a science report. All you have to do a heading, okay? When you bring me the paper, it's got to be just like this. Left side, top line, you put your name, then under it you put the date, then the subject, and my name there. Okay, you get 10 points off if you don't do it that way. So you have 20 kids in the class, right? So 15 of them said, okay. You know, three of them mumble to themselves. Yeah, what a stupid, you know. And then there's one, you know, what is the guy? He doesn't know his own name. What's the matter? Horowitz, you need your name. I have to write your name. Whatever. And one guy says, yeah, I'll flip it around and let's see if he notices it. Okay? You are born like this. I was born like this. I hated school. I was a horrible student. I'm not proud of it. I was a terrorist in school. I couldn't sit still. I can't sit still. Look at me walking around now. I'm 59 years old. So I've tried to take my out-of-the-box thinking to create stuff to help kids and to make a safety book and to get up at it. What kind of personality do you think it takes to get up at an Aguda convention with five members of the Matzis Gedalia Torah there in 1996 when I still had hair? I got up and I spoke about teens at risk when nobody was talking about it. So that's a personality. And actually, the idea came to me. It was really hysterical because I was flying to Chicago to give a lecture, and I had a 6 a.m. flight. It was snowing very hard. It started snowing and icing. So they closed the air. They announced that the guy gets on the plane and he says, listen, if anybody wants to leave, you can leave now. We're closing the airport, but there are 10 planes still with people in them. We're going to try to de-ice and get you out. If you're afraid or you don't want to wait, go. If not, stay and we'll try to get you off. Anyway, we waited 2-3 hours, and I was speaking to a very large crowd at night, so I sucked it up. I stayed. First of all, out of the box, the first thing I did is I jumped in a business class seat. So at least I was comfortable. The first business class guy that left, I took my stuff and went right there. Now, what happened is, after a couple hours, they closed the airport again. They said, forget it, they can't let these planes go, they let all of us go. Now, when you go to an airport, you get taxi cabs picking you up. So why are they there? Because they dropped off a guy and they picked up. They drop off and pick up. They drop off and pick up before Uber, right? Now, what happens? The airport closed for 3 hours, so there's no drop-offs, so there's no cabs. So I walked out. It so happened that I was working for 3 hours doing research on personality profiles. So it was first and foremost in my head. And I walked out, and the taxi line at Newark Airport, as my grandmother would have said, as long as the Yiddish goes, you know, says it's as long as the exile, you know, the Jewish exile, you know, as long as the Yiddish goes, that's what she said. And I watched these people getting out. Where's the taxi line square? Yeah, okay. You know, they're probably still there. They defrosted them in the spring. I don't know what happened with them, I promise you. And what the funniest thing about it, I said, there's no way, get out, I'm not getting on that line, what are you, nuts? So I started looking around to see how many other people think like me. And it was hysterical. Every 15, 20, 30 person, you saw them. They had, Cavalon's here? Okay. Not here? Okay. Think so. What? What are you? So all of us were running around and scrambling and trying to. So I you want to know how I got home? It was actually a Friday. I had to get home for Shabbos. So I went over. I started. You know, the first thing I did is I started looking for the guys who had those. You know, limos. The limos. They come with the guy's name. You know. So they say, you know, Rodriguez. I say, Señor. I tried whatever. I was running around trying to get a guy. Finally, I said, I was freezing. It was snowing sideways.
Rent a car.
Everything's closed. The airport's shut down.
That happened to me. I rented a car.
All right. Good for you.
With a few other guys.
I went in front of a limo. Anyway, I said, this is not working. I'm not staying outside and getting frozen. I went back inside. I said, I want to look for one or two people who are not in a rush because they know they have a driver there. And they don't have luggage because the company sent their suit in advance. So they can get pressed when they come. I'm going to look for guys with expensive shoes who are strolling without a worry in the world and have absolutely no luggage other than a little bag. And I just said, who's the profile? Who do I need here? I need one of the guys with the Armani suits. So I waited. It was hysterical. I just waited. Sure enough, 3 minutes later, these guys, two friends, exactly the profile that I just said. They're walking around. Everybody's running like crazy, calling and screaming. I just walked into the car, and I got right behind them. May God forgive me. I'm sorry. They got in the car, so I went in front of the car. I stood like this, and I folded my hands. So the guy comes and I said, what are you doing? I said, please take me in the car. You either take me or run me over. I said, I'll pay my third, but I can't stay. I got to get home. I'm Sabbath observer. He said, get out of here. The guy started screaming at me. Anyway, I'm not leaving. I said, look, if you run me over, the cops are going to come. You're going to be here all day. So let's just get it, you know, let me go. Anyway, one of the guys opened up the door and says, hey, I like this rabbi, come on in. I promise you, they took me and they didn't let me pay, and after they dropped me off, they had the driver take me there. Now, you have to be a nut to think this way. But if you're, that shouldn't be self-disparaging. You have to think differently than most people to think the same. Now, if you're in school and Mora is telling you to make a heading and follow this and do that and here are the rules and here's what we have, and you're thinking, what are you nuts? I'm not doing that. Not that much of a profile. Not that much of a shidduch. So think yourselves. Think about your spouses. Think about your children. Think about the coworkers that you're not getting along with. And just think of every one of these possibilities. And I really encourage you to think, those of you who are married, think about your families, your spouses. My wife is exactly the opposite of my personality. I'll show you a digital version of this. I'll just walk you through. This is a visual profile of my, there's four quadrants here. It's divided into four parts. The big one means I'm great at that, and the small one means I'm really lousy at that. Okay, so there are four different domains. I'm not gonna bore you with all the details, but this is what it looks like. So you see everything of mine is on the left side. It doesn't have to do with left brain, right brain. This is my wife's. Okay, everything of mine was on the left. This is my wife's profile. It's mamish exactly the opposite. Okay, my wife walked into my room. She's, thank God, she's organized and put together and makes lists. She really said, I asked her permission. Baruch Hashem, I married my best friend. I thank Hashem every day for it. You shouldn't think I'm just messing around. But she walks into my study. I was on the phone with somebody. She said, Yankee, this was about 20 years ago. She said, Yankee, I got you something that's going to change your life. It's going to change your life. You better not listen to this. Anyway, she brings me a coaster to put my cup on so it shouldn't make watermarks on the table. She says, this is going to change your life. I have five of them, so if you have a meeting, you... I said, what? I'm not going to find them. Are you kidding me? But it's so different. I believe that it's part of Hashem's design for us to teach us not to be selfish, to learn to get... I promise you, I almost believe this, that we're born selfish, and then we marry, we have to get along with someone, a different person, with a totally different personality. You have children, 50% of your kids are going to be the part you don't understand. And then you have teenagers. I really believe this, that it's part of Hashem's plan to teach us how to work. So I really encourage you to think about the relationships that aren't working.
think about people. Close your eyes for a moment and think about somebody that you really would like to get along better with, and you're trying very hard and it's just not working. And realize that it might be as simple as your own, your personality and that person's. And I really believe that doing it this way, you can really change your own life by getting in touch with your own personality. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says that we call it the Birchas Yaakov, the blessings that Yaakov gave his children. Rav Yaakov says they're not brachas. He told Reuven, you know, Zvulun, you go on the ships, Yisachar, you learn this one. Yeah. It's not a bracha. So the Vilna Gaon says, he brings down the Vilna Gaon's pshat. The Vilna Gaon says that if you look afterwards, after the brachas was done, it says Ish Asher Kibrachasa Beirachasam. Each person's clumsy wording of the pasuk. Each person, according to his blessing, Yaakov blessed him. So Rav Yaakov says the biggest bracha you could do is to tell a person who they are, and let them know about their personality. They get in touch with themselves. And then it says, then the words of that, it's really a clumsy wording in that pasuk. Then the pasuk makes beautiful sense. Once he told them who they were, he gave them a bracha for who they are, because Yisachar needs a different bracha than Zvulun does. So Ish Asher Kibrachasai Beirach Aysam. Each person, according to his own bracha, he blessed them. And last thing I'm going to talk to you about is learning patterns. It's similar to this, but it's more educational, and it might help you in your own stuff. And the beauty of this is that now with technology, you can Google all of this stuff and really study this. It is a fascinating, fascinating topic. At least it is to me, because I like out-of-the-box stuff. But, so here's what I want you to think about. Think about, I want to talk to you about different learning styles. There are people, three main categories, there are more. The three main categories are textual learners, who do best reading text. People read, that's how they acquire information. Others are auditory learners, meaning they learn best by listening. And visual learners learn best by seeing things. Now, I'll give you an example, and I encourage you next time you're in this medrash to look around. You'll see it right in front of you. I said I hope to get you to think. So think about the last time you're learning Yevamah, so you're learning a hard piece of Gemara. Look at what the folks do. You have some people who go like this. You know, again, when you see it in an adult, it's so striking once you understand what's going on, once you have the answer key. Some people will tell the chavrusa, you get to a very hard piece of Gemara, they'll go like this. Please don't talk to me right now. And they tune out all the auditory stuff and all the noise and looking at people. They won't even look at someone because they want to follow this complicated stuff in Yevamos. Other people close. Which one do you do? Think about yourself. Which one works best to you? Some people just say, okay, could you say that again, please? Just tell it to me one more time. You're laughing. Don't you see that? Don't we all see? Any of you see the stuff? It's fascinating. That person is an auditory learner. They learn best by listening. So they literally do this. They say, please just tell it to me again. Tell it to me twice slowly. They need to learn by listening. And some people will take the family tree in Yevamos and make a tree out of it. They'll take all those relationships and make a tree out of this. And once they see it, they'll remember it for life. So that's just another part of it. This kid, this Baba Vachusid that called me, the ninth grader, I never met him. I didn't say which, because yeah, it doesn't make a difference. It's not private. The guy's probably 40 years old by now. But that kid was so intuitive. I have such regret that I never met the kid. He knew everything about, he knew this whole stuff on his own. He was so self-aware. I'll repeat to you now what he told his father. I said, I'll fill you out what's going on. He told his father, he says, the Rebbe land, Nachamul, 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 Nachamul. He's learning the same thing again. Ich darf nicht Nachamul, ich darf anders. I need to learn it a different way. The way that he's teaching me isn't working for me. It's fascinating. And then he says, Siz alts verte. It's all words. And his father went like, duh. No, he didn't do that. But he said like, duh, whatever. Anyway, think about about it. The father didn't know what he was talking about. What do you mean it's words? Gemara's words. Hello? It's words. He's not a textual learner. And you look at, they tell you the weather. You ever wonder why they do that? You ever wonder? Say, Scranton, Pennsylvania, coming in at 80 degrees. Now, they write exact, doesn't annoy you, they write exactly. I'm sorry, it's not sure. I'm allowed to say that I watched the... Don't you love when the rabbis do that episode? I don't know, because I was on a plane and I saw it was a box and I didn't know what it was. I thought it was a microwave. I was on JetBlue. I was learning the Daf. The guy next to me said, come look. All right? No, but you watch the weather guy. It's annoying because he says Scranton like, duh, I can read. Why do you have to tell this to me? Okay? Scranton, Pennsylvania coming in at 80. Then it shows you a big sunny face. You know, right? And then we're all adults, right? And there's tomorrow is going to be real cold. And you see, you know, like they have this picture of this bad guy blowing, you know, the Mr. Wind, whatever it is. And going down, why? Because they want you to watch again. And they don't know how you process information. So they're going to tell it to you. They're going to show it to you. And they're going to show you images that you'll remember. 69% of the research is somewhere between 65 and 75% of people learn best visually. And you'll see sometimes if you're at work and you have spreadsheets, where do you go with it? You have spreadsheets and stuff, like some people will say, I just give me a pie chart or give me a graph. It's a totally different way of learning. I'm going to circulate, this is something that a labor of love for 15 years. I, having taught Gemara because of the work I do, I felt that the kids are not being taught Gemara the way the Rebbeim, great Rebbeim, don't have enough tools. So over a period of 15 years, my amazing Rebbe and I, my fifth grade Rebbe, created a book that introduces kids to Gemara. So the green pages are introduction before Gemara. Who these people are, where they came from, what a page looks like, how deductive reasoning works. And we took the sugyas, this is on brachas, and we broke it up with visual cues. And if you'll see, akasha is like, there's icons and color-coded. We have, if there's a steer, there's two trains coming at each other. I just want to show you, here, you can have, feel free to have a look at it. Just pass it around and pass it back where you want. Just giving you an idea of what, if any of you are interested in buying it, it's fine. If not, you can just do this kind of stuff on your own. It's just an idea of what you could do if the kid needs Andrish. And I said I would do this at the end, the troubleshooting. Try to troubleshoot. Don't let anybody ever tell you that your kid doesn't want to learn. If somebody tells you that, run away from them. If somebody says your kid has no cheshek and he's terrible and this and that, just go away and find somebody that believes in him or her. So sometimes it's complicated. Look, kids have learning issues, kids have emotional issues. I'm not, chas v'shalom, suggesting that putting some pictures on is gonna change everything, but understanding how the kids work and being able to watch how they react to different stimuli. What, think of those three guys, covering his eyes, covering their ears, or writing something, a graph that you're able to do. You know, could really make all the difference in the world. One of the things that I used to do in my class was I taught my kids, my students, how to make scripts, telemarketer scripts. If you work at these companies, you know, they call you, they nudge you on the phone to buy life insurance or whatever. They have hundreds of people working in that. It's a shop. They got hundreds of people there. How do they know what the people are going to say? They give them a map that teaches them exactly what to say. And it looks like this. You say, hi, my name is Joe. thank you for taking the call. Do you have life insurance? Do you have adequate life insurance? That's the question. And if he says yes, then you say, okay, what type of life insurance are you interested? Yes, what type of life insurance? If they say no, you say, maybe you'd be interested, can I send you something in the mail? Okay, and if he says, and they script out these calls, so as they say in the yeshiva world, every hechatimtza, every possibility, they have marked there. Can I trouble you? Can you bring me Gemara Bava Metzia, please? What is closest to it? The word itself is making
it. I'm going to read you a sugya. What? Above a Metzia, please. I'm going to read you a piece of Gemara in Bava Metzia.
One, two, or three.
What? Bava Metzia. Bava Metzia, what? What do you mean? Oh, you mean the art scroll? Art scroll did a good job. Got it? I'm going to read you a sugya. Look, if you're interested, you can look up, you can Google it now, I don't mind. Just the Yaakov Horowitz, It Doesn't Start in 10th Grade. I wrote it in Mishpacha magazine 12 years ago, begging people to slow down and not learn as fast and to stop learning Gemara later. I think we're learning too early. I think we're learning too much. I think parents are making schools crazy. It's not necessarily the principals, but whatever. I'll get on the soapbox a different time and talk to you about it. But there's a Gemara here. I don't know if anybody expects kids to know this, to be able to follow. It has five Imtim Tzolaimas in a row. Listen to this. Okay, the backstory is that Rav Shimon ben Elazar said that you're allowed to keep a certain object. I kid you not. This is. I do this with Rabbeim at workshops and teach them how to make logical flowcharts. So here we go. Yvayilav, they ask a question. He came Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Was Rav Shimon ben Elazar talking about a situation? It's Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph. If you want to get frustrated yourself. He came Rav Shimon ben Elazar b'Rav Kran. And was he talking with the mostly non-Jews? Ava b'Rav Yisrael Loi. But if there's mostly Jews, you can't keep it. Again, Rav Shimon said you're allowed to keep the object. This is what we're learning with 10-year-olds. Right? Okay. So Ava b'Rav Yisrael Loi. Idilma maybe Afilu b'Rav Yisrael Namiyam. And maybe he said it even if there's all Jews. And Imtim Tzolam b'Rav Yisrael. If you talk about Rav Yisrael, Omer Pligi Rabban Olai Olai Pligi. The Rabban argue or not? There's five in a row. Imtim Tzolam b'Pligi b'Rav Yisrael. If he says Rav Yisrael, Vade Pligi b'Rav. What? Like, what are you kidding me? So I tried to explain it to him. I said, so I when I used to do my classes, I would give examples, practical examples, but I would make a chart, a logical flow chart, and graph it out. So it says, was Rav Shimon Elazar said you're allowed to keep it? Okay, was it talking about non-Jews? This was it talking about Jews? So you can, one, and another thing is when I started learning Gemaras, I would introduce it with a practical example that allows kids to get it. Here's what I would do. I would say, okay, imagine one of your parents comes, you find out that I'm going to Baltimore to visit my kids, and you ask me to take along a suitcase. That's the question. So your mom comes and says, Rabbi Horowitz, can you take a suitcase? That's the question. So I'll answer, well, it kind of depends. Okay? If I'm going to take my van, I'll be glad to have room. If I take my car, I'm not going to have room. And even if I have my van, I might be asked by two people who my wife may have promised a ride to. And if that's the case, even if I have my van, I won't be able to. And if I take my van, and even if those two people don't feel like coming, if my wife has migraines, she's going to want to lie down in the back seat, and I won't be able to take it either. So that's just the way of figuring it out. We're publishing. I'd be delighted to send you. What's I going to sit there? I'm just thinking for a second. It should be there. If you send me an email at publications@thebrightbeginnings.com, I'll be glad to send you a demo. I made a demo for the Eila Metzias book. My amazing Rebbe, Rabbi Spivak, made a thing with potato chips that is hysterical, explaining how Gemara works. With a brisa and a maira, and as the halacha was given, a brisa says fakert. There's two ways to be miyash of this. It's brilliant. Rebbe says you make it bar pi adama. So another Rebbe says, well, you make a shahakal. So you can fix it one of two ways. You could either say one is talking about Pringles and one is talking about two different scenarios, or you could. Anyway, it's just a way. If you're learning with your kids and they're getting frustrated with Gemara, or you're frustrated as an adult because it just makes you nuts. Just like some people are good with Excel spreadsheets, some people find Gemara very difficult. That's the way they were born. My personality does not work well with Gemara. Obviously, I forced myself to do it, but it's not where it's not my natural nitiya is not to do this because I don't have the patience to sit through all of this stuff. I'm also very motivated by reasoning, like, is this really important? You know, do I need to go through all this? I know I need to, of course. But again, my objective here was to get you to think bechlal and really problem solve. I hope and I believe that you'll be able to apply this in so many different areas of life. Study, learn, follow, and just stay in the game and always keep learning. I hope you found it thought-provoking. Thank you. Have a good night.